Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is from Exodus chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. And the houses of all the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen.' And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses throughout all the land of Egypt. The land was ruined by the swarms of flies." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He cast out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons," while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." You may be seated. It's always interesting when we hear that word keep that's used here in the gospel reading today. That word for keep really has this sense to it of meaning to guard or protect. It's something you treasure. And that's what Jesus teaches you about the word of God and your posture toward it. You're to guard it, you're to keep it, protect it, defend it, hold fast to it. Now why? Why does he say that today? Well, the reason is because you're under attack. And so Jesus warns you in the gospel reading to watch yourself. He says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So that vivid image that Jesus gives is because demons are real. They were back then, and they are now, and are at work in this world trying to destroy Christ and his church. And one is either living under the influence of the demons, the devil and his kingdom, or one has the Holy Spirit and lives according to the Spirit. This passage, actually, from our gospel reading today, there was a book, kind of a quasi-book, that was written, House Swept Clean, and it details what was an exorcism that occurred at the St. Louis Seminary, our seminary down in St. Louis. They have a chapel underneath Luther Tower. They have this tower there, and there's a little chapel underneath there. And it was details this, and it talks about this. There was this family who was LCMS, and they were not the best in their church attendance and things, and their little boy got caught up and some things that he should not have been playing with. And so then they took him to the St. Louis Seminary. This was way back in, I think, the 30s or 40s. And it was called A House Swept Clean. And then there was a person who got a hold of it and then wrote another book and changed it to a girl. And it turned into a movie called The Exorcist. So there's actually LCMS roots with that. But the name of the book and that talks about what happened at the St. Louis Seminary is called A House Swept Clean. And so the warning of Jesus today is directed towards Christians. It's directed toward you. Because there's a danger of complacency that we let into our lives within the church. And it comes back to either neglecting or rejecting what has been given to us in our baptism. There's a danger to fall away from the faith. It's called apostasy. And the fault never lies with God. God's word keeps you in the faith and guards and protects you. And he does this through his means of grace, his word and sacraments. And the words of the introit today, from which the name of this Sunday is derived, orient you as you go through this life. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. So God warns you, he shows you the danger, and he tells you that in your life, fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't take them off him. Or as Jesus said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So the danger and warning then that you are to see, mark, and avoid is to how sin and the devil are trying to tear you away from Christ and his kingdom. To be sure, there are always elements that you are to avoid where the devil likes to operate. You think about this in the second commandment with things like satanic arts, witchcraft, or as the older language puts it, don't mess with that stuff. Don't mess with that stuff like fortune telling, Ouija boards, New Age spiritual practices, or anything else that goes along with it. And these things are resurging again, becoming very popular, even in our country today. Don't touch them. Don't let your guard down. Don't think that you are stronger than those things. Resist those things. Have no part with them. But it goes beyond just this stuff as well. and it speaks to your daily lives. 1 John 3 connects this as it teaches you, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. So you're warned against the devil in your life and connection with sin. And so you see, that's not who you are in Christ. As a Christian, your sin doesn't define who you are as a baptized child of God. And in that epistle reading today, at the beginning and the end, God lays out this foundation of who you are as beloved children. He says, walk as children of light. So look then how Jesus speaks in the reading today. What does he call the devil? A strong man. Don't forget that. His tactics are to lie. They are to deceive you into thinking what God says is bad or evil, that what he promotes is right and good, and think your life is at peace. That's what the devil wants you to think, that God is the enemy. And so think about that now in terms of what you've been given in baptism, which is what God teaches you, what you have as children of light, as those who belong to another kingdom. Don't go back into what you have been delivered from by God in your baptism. So where does that leave you? Well, listen again to what your Lord said. Jesus goes on in the gospel reading, explaining what all this means to the people. He said, but he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan is also divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Now, it's been attributed to various people throughout the centuries, such as Philip II of Macedon, or most famously Julius Caesar, after defeating the Gauls in the Gallic War. It's divide et impera, divide and conquer. And Jesus today shows something similar when he speaks those words, when he's accused of casting out demons by the devil. And every time you hear this reading, you just scratch your head and can you believe this? Jesus is casting out demons by the devil. That's the argument they could try to bring up against Jesus, right? No, he's not casting out demons by the devil. What purpose would that serve? The devil would be dividing himself. A divided household can't fall. You split things up and you conquer it. No, it's the finger of God that he casts them out. And he divides the devil's kingdom, and he conquers it. So see what Jesus has done. Jesus has and still overthrows the devil's kingdom. And so Jesus says how he cast out demons and what this means. Jesus cast out demons and has conquered and scatters the darkness. And really, Jesus buys you back. He redeems what belongs to him. Jesus is the stronger man by his obedient life and his atoning death. It's the foolishness of the cross that is the strength to save. Through the weakness of the cross, Christ crucified, you are redeemed and set free from the bonds of sin, death, and the devil. Listen to the end of the words of Isaiah 53. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. And so you think about this too with the second article of the Apostles' Creed and what we confess about the work of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. And so the stronger man has conquered. And you belong to Jesus, and in him you are more than conquerors. As Romans 8 says, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you see, this is what you have as you fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is your Lord. He is your Redeemer, and you belong to him. The devil wants to rule you. The devil knows that his time is short, and so he's attacking. He's prowling around like a roaring lion. But you see and you know that he is lost. His kingdom and his spoil have been taken. And you don't belong to the devil now. And your time is not short. No, you're a child of light and life, and your inheritance is the eternal kingdom of God with all of his glory. And so the gospel reading today ends with those words. And as he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So your protection and very deliverance are found in Christ, who is the stronger man who has overcome the strong man. Jesus has done this. He has conquered. He is the victor through his perfect obedient life, through his suffering and death for you and in your place. And yes, blessed indeed are those who hear the word of God and keep it, because it is given to you and covers you with his work and his whole person. So the confidence to face the devil, who is strong, make no mistake about that, is that you belong to the stronger man. The confidence to see your sin and stand up against temptation is that your Lord is the one who has overcome it for you and forgives you. The confidence to face death is because the Lord, who took upon your sin and died in your place to satisfy God's righteous anger, who pays the price you deserve. It's the confidence to know that this is all has been done and that you stand righteous before the throne of God. You don't stand before him in the shackles and slavery to the devil. No, you stand as his beautiful, spotless bride, whom he has bought with the price of Christ's own blood. And you stand victorious and righteous because Jesus is risen victoriously from the grave. So all of these dangers are real, but greater is your Lord and the preservation and protection that you have in Jesus. And there is no one stronger than him, and there's no equal. Baptized into Christ, you have the Lord. You have his kingdom that has come upon you, even as you pray, "Thy kingdom come," in the Lord's Prayer. And the small catechism sums it up beautifully in both the second and third petitions of the Lord's Prayer, which we heard this last week in our midweek service. But God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead holy lives here in time and there eternity. And not only that, but this is the will of God in your life. And all of this, for God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die, this is his good and gracious will. So, dear people of God, fix your eyes on Jesus, for he has fixed his eyes toward Jerusalem for you. Listen again to those words of the antiphon of the introit. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lowly and afflicted. What a joy it is to have such a sight to behold in your Lord Jesus, and to have all that he has done freely and graciously given to you. Your sin has been atoned for. The devil has been defeated. Death has been destroyed. That's who your Lord is. That's who places himself before your eyes as he has baptized you, as he gives you his word, as he feeds you with his own supper. You are his dear children, and he guards and keeps you in his strong and righteous arms, which cannot be broken. Thanks be to God for such work and such comfort in Christ, who does all things well, and who gives you his very word today. Your Lord fixes your eyes on him and keeps you gazing at your gracious Savior and the salvation you have in him. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And blessed are you in that word, because in Christ yours is his kingdom, which no one can destroy, no one can plunder, but is yours now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.